Good afternoon, everybody. This is Robin Ayu from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another episode. With this episode, I think we're recording episode 266, if memory serves me correctly. I just published 265 earlier this morning, and it was a pretty interesting conversation, that one. That was with the senior product manager for LG Electronics out of New York. And that was quite the conversation about AI. How do we use AI in a governed way, in a guardrails around it, and every aspect of the guardrail? And what I thought we'd do today, this afternoon, is continuing on from that conversation and speaking about guardrails around how you use AI in business, even in your personal life. Like, I'm seeing some doozies out there, to be honest with you. There are some people that are using AI right now. It just makes me scratch my head how they're using it. But anyway, right now I am joined by my good friend, Suki Dylan Alberga. And Suki, I think this episode that we're recording together, I think it's a preview of another episode that we're going to be recording down the road, I think on September 10th, with our good friend, Andrew Terrett. And that one's going to be expanding the conversation a little bit. But this, those who don't know you, why don't we start with this? Everybody gets this. I know I've heard this story before, but we're getting a lot of a new audience on the channel. A lot of people don't know who are the new guests that are coming on board. If you don't mind, for those who don't know you, just tell us your story. What's your story?
Well, thank you very much, first of all, Robin, for being a good friend, and also giving me the opportunity to speak on your really successful podcast now. I remember when I first time was on, you were starting out, and look at you today. So congratulations on that. Like, kudos to you. I think my journey sort of started. I a lawyer by profession, and, wanted to do everything outside of the box. So I started Bridging Legal Solutions, which is a multidiscipline practice in health law and business law. We're the first in Canada to service clients where we provide HR services and legal services and accounting services. And from there, my innovations kept going, where I also built a legal tech platform that got approved by the Law Society of Ontario, access to Innovation Sandbox. And that is a critical training thinking tool that actually creates enforceable and binding documents, which can help law firms, train their juniors in critical thinking, especially in the day and age of generative AI, right? And then from there, I'm also involved with the Canadian Bar Association. We have started an AI in practice series that goes across Canada. And we're talking about, AI, especially in the practice of law, and how is that changing our industry, and how is it impacting other industries as well? So, and I speak with experts from the legal tech world, from privacy and security. We get all sorts of guest speakers that come on, and we're talking about really getting into the depth of what AI and generative AI means, mm-hmm. and how it's mm-hmm. impacting our clients and their industries, and plus our own profession. So it proves to be a really interesting conversation, and we've had a lot of episodes, so that's kind of exploded, so that's been great. And then in the midst of that, I started finding myself that a lot of law firms and clients aren't understanding how to not only implement, but have effective, responsible, accountable adoption of AI mm-hmm. In their businesses. And so it was like, okay, well, how can we help? There's a gap here. And so then I came up with a new business venture, which is called BLS Consulting Services. But the venture is new, but the team isn't new to any of this. We're all experts that have years of experience. And so our team members have come together, and we provide services to help clients with adopting AI and putting in the risk management and governance and guardrails that you just previously had your previous guest speaker about talking about, where we actually have to put it in practice and find out where your pain points are, which sometimes you do need those experts to come in and help you with that, because the human factor is always going to be still very relevant. Yes, AI has come from like far along, now quite a bit, and we can talk about that. I'd love to speak about where it's been and where it is now and where is it going. But it's really important. And I think what really triggered me to kind of start this was that 88% of businesses are using AI, but yet only 8% of organizations are equipped for the frameworks of ethical, legal, and operational AI risk. That's a crazy statistic. And yeah. That's North America, you know? Yeah. And so when I read that, I thought, okay, there's a gap between individual AI use and institutional readiness. And so we got to get talking about this. And that's what we're going to really dive into when we have that episode. We hope everybody will tune into.
Yeah.
I'll know it's live then. And, we really want to dive into that and help people understand that, because we're going to also talk about shadow AI and all these other different issues that are coming up that companies, especially the earlier adopters that have been using AI. There's a different market out there right now. In the marketplace, you're going to have businesses that have been on the fence for a while, kind of waiting and learning, do we need to put AI, but are kind of feeling they don't want to be left behind, and then thinking, okay, we need to do this. So they're at the implement stage. But then there are others that 2 years have been watching this and become earlier adopters. And now they've got it integrated into their businesses, but they're kind of feeling the pitfalls now, right? And seeing what that looks like. And then there's the bigger question about, well, you implement, you know, generative AI, and we'll also talk about the different types that you need to implement and what are the risks and what do you need to ask from vendors and stuff like that. But they implement it, and then they're thinking, well, where's the ROI in this? How do we even measure it? Are we able to measure? Initially, everybody can kind of see, oh, there's efficiency, right? And we're able to take on maybe more clients. But what's the long-term effect of this? And what does it mean in all aspects? And sometimes you need financial experts to be able to do that. And we got team members that have years of experience and come from big corporations and multinationals that are part of the team that are going to be helping. So it was that kind of need that kind of got me excited and said, you know what, there's a gap here. We need to be able to help and service that gap.
Yeah. Now, it's funny because when you say only 8% have deployed it adequately or according to the rules. I'm looking at other statistics. I posted something today when I posted my episode with Himang from LG. And, you know, you look around and you say there's no surprise that there are only 8% are pretty much deploying it adequately. Here's why. 85% of the organizations that they attempted to deploy AI deployed it and failed. And only 5% deployed it correctly. And by 2027, out of those 5%, 40% will fail. Mm. So yeah. there is a huge problem before we get to the, I think legal is part of it, but there's a huge problem people are grappling with is, are we deploying it correctly? Are we just jumping on the bandwagon? You know, like I say to a lot of people, I say, you know, you hear the word AI, it's just like, you know, a shot of adrenaline for so many people. Like, yeah, give me my, you know, my caffeine. I need my caffeine. And they hear the word AI and everybody start jumping up and down. It's like, you know, the second coming or something. It isn't if you don't understand it. And part of not understanding it is, are you deploying it correctly? Like I was just going through privacy policy earlier with one of my customers. And you speak about privacy policies. What information are you allowed as a corporation to keep? What information are you not allowed to keep? And what information are you allowed to even receive? Not just keep, receive. And it just makes your mind go crazy because a lot of companies out there, I'm not sure they're even paying attention to this. Large language models are attached to every database out there. And yeah. let's say you have 200 staff members. And regardless if you like it or not, they are using AI. Regardless if it's part of your policy or not, they are using AI.
May I say something? Another important statistic that came to my attention recently as well is 90% of companies that are using AI don't even know the risk. Like it's not even on their radar. Like they don't get it. And it's kind of like, oh, wow. And like, that's not to make anyone feel, you know, like not doing their due diligence or anything. No, not in a negative way. Because I think what happens is that you know, AI is new. Nobody seems to know the answers when it comes to generative AI in the respect of, you know, where is it going to go, the prediction and all that kind of stuff. But what we do really need to understand is, how does it work? How do you use it in your business safely and responsibly? And who's going to be accountable for it? You know, there's that gap too. There's a change management gap that happens in organizations. And again, they don't understand it. So yeah, for sure.
Or how do we police it? That's another one too people are grappling with. Like, how do we police which information can be treated using AI, which information cannot be treated using AI? We cannot use a magic wand and say, you know what? For first name, last name, social insurance numbers, those are not, you're not supposed to be putting those on AI, you know, for instance. But in a lot of cases, people don't know because why they don't know. It's not because intentionally, sometimes intentionally because they're stupid, but not everybody is. Sometimes that name, that data, that piece, that, you know, three words, first name, last name, social insurance number is buried in a PDF file that's 100 pages long. Like, how do you find it? And it's in another language in a lot of cases. You don't know because, well, there's so because many it's another answers. Language.
You hit on so many really interesting issues. I think, first of all, there's larger organizations, right, that are international. Then you've got, you know, the mid-sized market companies. Then you've got the small, you know, businesses that are trying to use AI. And it's going to be a different fit for different people. And then you've got the public using it. Public-facing AI, I think, is the most most risky. Like, you have to be very careful with that. You really have to understand what you can put in it, what you can't, because again, you don't even have the control over what ends up, whatever you put in there is public knowledge. How the model is going to be learning and training from it is another issue altogether. Then you have companies that say, well, I've got, you know, an enterprise subscription kind of thing. Okay. Well, do you understand data sovereignty and data residency? What are those terms? What does that mean? You know, and those are other important things that need to be understood. Data sovereignty is basically saying that where is the data actually being kept by the provider that you're using, and generative AI and data that you're putting in that can be actually sometimes your IP, can be your employees' information, can be your client's information, right? Where is that actually being housed? Is it being housed in another country? And let's say they're a provider in the States. Well, you've got the Cloud Act. What does that mean? Well, the Cloud Act basically says that if the US government, if they ever want to go to a service provider and say, we want information, or we're going to tap in for whatever lawsuit that they may have, they could very well have access to even your information, because you've used them. So understanding all that is really important. And there's certain guide rails that need to be placed. Some people are saying, okay, well, you know what? I'm a little tech savvy, so I'm going to use agentic AI and create a system process within our company. And so that's going to be guardrails in themselves. Well, really, truly, it's a command. It's not its own thing, where you're saying that you've actually built this from scratch, and that's your, you know, agentic AI. Larger companies and bigger corporations can do that. And there's certain companies in, like, finance, for example, they can do it. Law firms sometimes can do it, but still there's some issues there too as well. But do you get what I'm trying to say? There's so many factors that people really do need to understand. And I think at first time is really asking yourself that question. If I'm using AI, what kind of AI am I using? And the type of AI am I using? Am I protected? And if I'm protected, do I have all the governances in place, checkmark, privacy, that I'm protecting myself, there's no data leakage or inadvertently any data leakage, or, you know, shadow AI? And shadow AI is two parts. Essentially, it's sometimes you can have employees that are using, you know, AI, but they don't, may have inadvertently put in information that is company information in there, and there's that leakage there, right? Another scenario can be is someone is able to access the system in some way and put in prompts or information that kind of can corrupt what you're doing as well. So there's a little bit, there's a lot of that can happen as well. So it's being aware and becoming more knowledgeable, and then really sitting down and saying, what's our plan to protect ourselves? You know, what does that look like? And if there is a data leakage or something happens, then what's our incidental plan? You know, what's that incidental recovery plan or incidental plan to kind of mitigate what has happened, and how do we reduce our liability at that point?
Would that be a conversation around insurance at that point?
Some of it, yes, it can be. It'd be legal, it'd be insurance, and then it would also be, you know, your IT department figuring out what needs to be done as well. And a consulting company can come in and kind of say, these are the measures you put in when you're going forward. Kind of having a little bit of a scorecard for yourself of, you know, where are we at and what are we doing and how do we do it? And at BLS Consulting, we kind of do that. And my colleague and team member, Andrew, is very good at explaining that as well. So make sure you stay tuned to that episode. You're going to get a lot of good tidbits out of that one.
September 10th, everybody will record. And hopefully September 11th, we'll push it out. Well, I don't know if September 11th is a holiday or something. I don't know what it is, but the next day we'll push it out. Yeah, that's the thing. With all of this, I think the other part of this conversation that would really need to be taken seriously and the audience needs to take seriously, I think it's around when we use any technology. I mean, we talked about AI until the boring status at this point from AI, but it doesn't matter what technology you're using. You got to consider what works for your business and what doesn't work for your business. The biggest conversation that's taking place right now, beside putting guardrails and putting good governance around how do you use the new technology, and the new technology is making it challenging, and that's why we're having the conversation with Suki and Andrew later on September 10th, is why? It's because the genie's out of the bottle. We've democratized the way technology is being used by all your staff. I'll give you an example. In the past, company will buy CRM. Who would use CRM? The users needs to use CRM. Those category of users that they're specialized in using CRM, they will use CRM. The company, for instance, will buy an SAP deployment, an SAP platform. HR and the rest of the people that they need to use SAP will use SAP. So there's a designated category of users would use certain applications, and they were put through training to use that application. They were putting the software by itself had many guardrails around it to be able to use that application. So here's how it goes. And that's why the genie is out of the bottle now, is because now with Claude and, you know, Perplexity and all the other models that are out there, I'm talking about the large language model. SLM is down the road, and we can have a conversation on this one. But wrap our heads around the LLM right now. Every one of your users are using LLM. It doesn't matter what it is. You close your IT system. You say, I don't want them to, like, you go tell your IT department, I don't want you guys to access LLM. Fine. They don't access it on your laptop, on their laptop. They will access it on their mobile phone. It's just the genie's out of the bottle. It doesn't matter what you say. It's so attractive. It's so convenient. I type a few things, I get an answer. Maybe it's the wrong answer. I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't know the answer to that. Yeah. I have people getting medical recommendation from AI that are just so stupid. Like, it's, I don't know where is this going. We need guardrails around it. We need to build it with a frame of mind that this needs to be legally controlled, security controlled. Cybersecurity is having a fun day with us. Like, imagine what cybersecurity is going to be doing now. I mean, they are doing it right now. AI has given a huge opportunity, if we don't counteract it with policies and putting these guardrails around it, that cybersecurity will have a field day with this stuff. It used to take them, whatever, a few days to write a program. Now the program can shape shift itself based on the network that it's facing on the other side.
Yeah, that's true. I was trying to see, I read earlier and I was trying to find the article, and I think it was, yes. So IBM, it was cited in AI Governance Statistics 2026 Key Data and Insights. 87% of organizations claim a clear AI governance framework. Fewer than 25% have implemented actual controls.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So you're right. And I think there's a little bit more to this story too, because I think what happens here is, you know, when you have an organization that's wanting to use their AI, there's a little bit of this thing, fear. You talked about the genie in the out of the bottle, or the fear of being left behind. But if you have the fear of being left behind and you're rushing into using these and you're implementing it. And most organizations, what they tend to do is like, we pilot it. We pilot it. We provided a little bit of training or what we think was training enough for our employees. We're hoping they have like buy-in and, I 2 months or 3 months into it, we're not sure why they're not using or what's happening. Like, why aren't like, we're not getting the adoption that we thought we were going to get. Well, the thing is, first of all, AI now, since even our conversation 2 years ago, like this is the other where the pendulum is shifting so much. We're moving from the conversation of implementing AI, not to scare those ones who have not done anything about it, but just to say reality, the pulse of where things are at right now, especially with larger organizations and businesses, they've moved well beyond the implementation part. They're in the adoption part now. And so they're now in the trenches of what this is going to look like and how it's actually impacting, right? So the conversation is saying, generally, what my point is that nobody's really talking about whether generative AI is going to be used. It was like the internet. You know, it's here to stay. So what do we do about it? Where is it going? How do we make sure there is some level of governance? Now, governance is important. And basically, when we talk about governance, this is really saying is, what are your safety measures that are making sure that you're compliant with regulatory compliance, right? You're compliant to some industries, like especially the healthcare industry.
Yeah, especially the people that deal with the regulated industry, you're still responsible to be meeting those obligations. You know, data at rest, data in transit, data at rest, data in transit. That's exactly what the contract says.
And then we haven't even talked about legislation compliance, right? Yeah. Like we've got PETA, right? The other thing that's really important is we also have Canada spam anti-spam legislation. You've got the Privacy Commissioner federally of Canada, although they can't at the moment, but legislation is being proposed to change this.
Yeah.
Right now, if you have some kind of data breach or AI breach, they can take you to federal court. And you can have, a business can face up to $100,000 per violation, right? So it's, we're talking about a lot of
this
money.
Is where legal and insurance needs to come together, right? your general liability insurance needs to be, accordingly adapted.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. And I think we have to be careful. And I think the starting point is for people to understand that there's a pace for this. I know a lot of tech companies and vendors out there, there's a lot of innovation happening, right? And it's going faster than any of us ever anticipated. But that doesn't mean that we need to be careful to protect ourselves, because at the end of the day, it's going to land on the, not only the stakeholders, but, you know, the CEOs and founders and owners, you know? So who are you going to turn to? Like, you know, you can implement all these AI, but do you know who you turn to for accountability? Who's overseeing it? Who's consistently overseeing it? And is 3 months piloting and implementing AI enough time? I don't think there's a clear answer. It's going to be individual to the type of business you run, the number of people that run, and what you're actually asking the AI to do. I mean, it's one thing if you're asking your AI to say, hey, measure the production on the line of number of products that we're pushing out, and how can we become more efficient about it? Okay, that's great, right? So long as you're keeping your own data from competitors or whatever that case that may impact, great. Versus, we have a number of clients. We want to know which clients can we serve better and what are their needs and what they can There's a lot of stuff that can be exposed when you're doing that. If you don't have the guardrails and to know how to implement and leverage the AI in such a way safely to be able to get that kind of information. So again, we need to understand it. I mean, we're talking about generative AI. We haven't even talked about general AI, which is, the potential of this AI becoming more intelligent than the human person. And how does that work?
The predictability around 2032.
Yeah.
2032, sorry.
We thought, It's coming along fast. There's been a lot of innovation. There's a lot of podcasts out there that, you know, in line with your podcast that are great too, that are having experts that are coming in that are, you know, at the pulse of what all these changes are actually happening and what in reality is also actually happening. But I think it's really important for businesses to really take a minute and stop and think, yes, this may seem overwhelming, but you know what? Information is power, right?
Yep.
And when you start with information, assessing your own needs first, you can start getting those answers. And if you can't figure out how to do it in a safe way where you can sleep at night, well, then you hire experts to help you do that.
Yeah. So tell me, like, some people are going to say, oh, you know what? We've got a legal department for that. Are they equipped to do it, to deal with it? Why would they need BLS in this case? You may want to make the case for that one.
Well, I think legal departments, we can certainly help with your policy, right?
Yeah.
We can help create that you have an AI policy, especially within your company and how employees are to use it and what that's supposed to look like. You can also have your governance policy that we can essentially help you with. But a BLS consulting, like a consulting services, we look at what is going on in your organization, which is really the pain point, and have you effectively used AI? Is it really effectively being used? And if it's not, okay, where do you actually really need to use it? And then how can we implement it with safeguards? And then who's going to be accountable in your organization? How do you create that change management for something that is completely new and changing the world, and you want it to change your business so your business can go to the next level? So who can come in and help you to do that? And we can certainly help you. How you would use, you know,
ourselves. Well, I can't wait for the September 10th recording. That sounds very exciting. What do you think?
I think so too. I think people are going to be
We didn't steal the thunder here. I don't know. We broke some ice here, I think.
How's she going to fumble next time because she doesn't know that it's actually live? I think we should try to start, like, you know, some kind of meme about that one.
Yeah, sure, we should.
People do that anymore. They still do that. I have no idea.
We'll tell Andrew, like, later. We'll say, okay, man, we recorded this thing. Your job is done. We'll see you on the 10th.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Robin. Thank
Same
you
here.
For doing
Same
this. Here. This is something that what you do is really giving back to society as a whole, and you're giving us opportunity of those of us who want to have a say and want to be able to speak and make change happen. Like, I think the other thing that I really want to be an advocate for our legal profession is for lawyers to start speaking up about, you know, we want a say on how AI affects our profession and what does that look like and how can we protect our clients. You know, there is a real need and a voice for that and a governance for that. So I think it's really important. And you know what? If anybody's listening here is like, oh, you know, she's talking about clients. Hello, I'm a client too.
We're all client at some point, right?
Right? We know the pain in the feel of growing pains and what that feels like. And to be able to understand and be relate to our clients in that way is just an added advantage, right?
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that I would want to end this conversation with is we must remember that relationship and interaction is going to be really important even in the age of generative AI. How we work and help each other and the integrity that comes along with it and the human part of being what's being human and helping us achieve those goals, AI can be used to help us be efficient and achieve some of the things that we thought we couldn't achieve, even in a shortened period of time. But it's the human interaction working together that's going to create beautiful things.
Yep. And if you're a legacy company, by the way, the audience, if you're a legacy company, you have already contracts in place, you've got customers in place. I'm not talking about the startups. If you're a legacy company, meaning that you've been around for a while, you've got customers, you've got contracts in place, and you all of a sudden decided you want to deploy AI, guess what, guys? If you don't respect those contracts I already signed, you're a breach of contract.
Yeah, that's
right. I hope you guys know that. If that contract says or define the data, where it goes, where it sits, how it gets treated, and you're using AI right now, you are in a breach of contract. And I'm just saying that. I don't know what's in your contracts. I don't know what you signed up for. But if there is a definition of an IT security definition or IT security category in your contracts today with your existing customers, and all of a sudden you decide, okay, I'm going to open up the gate and I'm going to start using AI for my team for myself and my team, you are in a breach of contract. You need to talk to a lawyer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And again, we're not trying to scare you. Any of the audience members are listening.
But maybe a little scare. It's not bad, you know.
But what we're trying to say is we're trying to equip you. We're trying to equip you and empower you to things that may not have been in your radar, you may not have thought about.
Pay attention to it. That's all. I mean, that's your blind spot, right? So we talk about blind spot. That's your blind spot.
And the best way to deal with a blind spot is to head on.
Talk to people. Talk to experts.
Talk to experts. Get the help you need and resolve it.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing more is more important to an entrepreneur for their business to grow.
Absolutely.
Right. And you don't want to get stuck in the forest or in the weeds of being chained to certain liabilities and issues that's going to prevent you from doing that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's that simple.
So I want to thank this impromptu recording with my good friend, Suki, and for the audience. Hey, listen, hopefully it's okay. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. Normally, we had too much fun, I guess, for this one. I don't know if you guys noticed, but we had a few laughs. And normally my conversations with my guests has some laughs, but not as much, though. This one has a lot more laughs to it. So hopefully it's okay for the audience. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I want to thank my good friend Suki for joining me today. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Robin. And I hope listeners got some value out of this. I really sincerely do. And listen, generative AI is something to be curious about, not to be afraid, but also, you know, empower yourself on how to use it. And if you're in doubt, reach out to experts.
Absolutely. So for the audience, I want to thank you so much for joining me on this impromptu recording. If you are watching us on YouTube, thanks for watching us. Appreciate your time. If you're listening to us on podcast, whatever your podcast favorite channel is, thanks for listening. And if you're reading the blog post where I summarize these conversations on robinayoub.blog for research purposes, thanks for reading. I heard, I received the stats last week, 650% increase in traffic on the blog post. So I am very happy about that. And also, if you haven't done so, if you're interested, you can download the app where you can see all of the content for the localization fireside chat in one place. You don't have to search anymore. We built an app for that one. That's right. We have an app for that one. And I'll put the QR code on the video when I edit the video, so you can scan the QR code and download the app. All right. Thanks, everybody. And I'll see you at the next one. Appreciate it.